Some 32 weeks ago, we started a series of studies in the book of Revelation. This morning, I want to wrap up the book of Revelation, and next Sunday and for the next two Sundays after that, I may possibly do three sermons out of the book of Daniel just to show you where it relates to the book of Revelation. But as we have combed through chapter 1 and then we skipped over to chapter 4 where the church, we believe, is raptured up into heaven before the tribulation begins, that chapter 5 and on and following about all of the things that are going to take place in this world and the judgments of this world. But this morning what I want to do is I want to wrap up chapter 22 in a few moments, no particular points. I'm just going to read scripture and talk about these particular scriptures. But Martha, I don't know if you can take us back to chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, but I want to read verses 1 through 3 of chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation means an unveiling. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. And then here in verse 3 is what I want to emphasize for just a minute. Blessed is he. Now, young people, that word blessed there means happy. Is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, there are a lot of people that say, well, you know, there are just too many various ideas, too many various interpretations on the book of Revelation. And some people will say, we're just not supposed to know it. We're just not supposed to understand that. And so therefore, they will just sidetrack that. Well, according to chapter 1, verse 3, God's word says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I believe we are to read it. I believe we are to study it. I believe we can understand as much as we are supposed to understand about this book. And last Sunday morning, we got down through verse 6 in chapter 22. And this morning, I want to finish the following beginning in verse 7. Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. Now, down through the ages, for some 20 centuries, people have been looking for the return of Jesus. In fact, the Bible tells us that in the latter days that people will be saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, those Old Testament prophets, those Old Testament people, things continue as they are. Well, folks, let me tell you, when you read those words, behold, I come quickly, what that is referring to is when he does come the second time, it will be suddenly. It will be quickly when he comes. Now he says, behold, Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed, once again, that word that means happy. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. I'm grateful. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit, who penned these 66 books in what we call the canon of Scripture. I'm grateful from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation that you and I have the full canon of Scripture to us. And that as we read it, as we meditate on this, I am confident of the fact that we can understand what God wants us to understand about these prophecies and about these sayings. He says, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Young people, the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible that was written somewhere around 95 AD to 99 AD, and that AD means after the resurrection. The year of our Lord is what that is referring to. So after Jesus resurrected, the book of Revelation was penned somewhere in just those few years after that, recorded for us through the Holy Spirit about what is going to happen to this world and what is going to happen as God sends judgments upon this sinful world one of these days. When we got to chapter 4, we said we believe, based upon the view that we are looking at here, this premillennial view of this pre-tribulation view, that the church will be taken out of the world before all of these things begin to rain down of God's judgments upon the earth. I believe that interpretation, that view, makes more sense to me than any of the other views, because the Bible tells us that once we have accepted Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who be in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, God's judgment and God's condemnation is going to fall upon this world one of these days. And I believe that we as Christians will be removed out of this world in what we refer to as the rapture. Now, young people, that word rapture, harpazo, the Greek word, that word rapture itself is not in the Bible, but neither is the word Bible in the Bible, and neither is the word Trinity in the Bible. But we know that those are all doctrinal things that the Bible teaches. And so the book of Revelation, it's an unveiling of the things that are coming upon this world. Notice, if you will, in verse 8, and I, John — now John was one of those 12 apostles that Jesus called. He was one of those disciples. In fact, young people, he was the only disciple that stayed to the end at the cross when Jesus died. All of the others, they tucked tail and ran from the cross for fear that they were going to be crucified next. But John stayed at the cross. Now John will be writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penning this unveiling of future things that are going to happen in this world. Young people, he is the only one of the apostles that did not die a martyr's death. All of those other disciples, all of those other apostles, they were martyred for their faith. John, this disciple, he was old, he was stricken in years. Because of his faith and testimony in Jesus, he was exiled out on an island in the Aegean Sea, away from family, away from friends. And it's while he's there that the Holy Spirit of the living God penned the words of this wonderful book. Now, verse 8 says, and I, John, this beloved disciple that loved Jesus — Jesus looked down from the cross and told John to take care of Jesus' mother — and I, John, saw these things. John says, these things that I have written about in the book of Revelation, this unveiling of Jesus Christ, in all of these things that are going to happen one of these days in this world, John said, I saw these things. How did he see those, young people? Let me tell you, he was caught up, and the Spirit of God moved upon him and gave him this information. He said, and heard them. And when I had heard and seen — notice what John did. He was so overcome with this information. He said, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Now, young people, I want you to know, in Jesus's day, there were people that thought Jesus was just an angel. Let me tell you, Jesus is not an angel. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer, the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. He's the one who died for your redemption, shed his blood so that you might be able to receive his wonderful gift of eternal life. Let me tell you, notice Jesus is not an angel. Jesus created the angels. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. They created these angels, and God is one, but he operates in three different ways. He operates as the Redeemer. God came down to this earth. He died on the cross, shed his blood, rose from the dead, ascended back to heaven. He's coming again one of these days according to the scripture. God himself became Jesus on earth. God is one person, but he came to this earth in all of his humanity and in all of his deity. He was both God and human, fully God and fully man, but yet without sin. Had he not been without sin, the pure blood of Christ, born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit, had he not been born that way, he could not have taken away our sins. He would have been no different than anyone else that was ever born. But because he was born of the virgin birth and conceived of the Holy Spirit, he was the sinless Son of God. And then when Jesus went back to heaven, what did God do? God sent us the Comforter. God himself, Jesus, living in us, the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do, young people? The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is the great comforter in our heart. The Holy Spirit comforts us when we are sad. The Holy Spirit teaches us what is right and teaches us what is wrong. The Holy Spirit lights up the scriptures so we can understand it and leads us into all truth. Now, John said, and I, John, saw these things that are going to happen in the future. He said he heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship the feet of the angel which showed me these things. But notice, young people, in verse 9, it says, then saith he unto me, the angel, in other words, to John, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. This angel says to John, don't worship me. I'm just a fellow servant. Angels, what are they? They're created beings. The book of Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that they're ministering spirits that God uses to minister to those who will inherit salvation. And this angel says to John, don't worship me. I'm just a fellow servant. And he says, the one you're supposed to worship is God. And so you and I live in a world of angelology today. People worship angels. I mean, there have been tons and tons of books written on angels. And a lot of people worship angels. And the Bible commands us we're not to worship angels. Those are just created servants of God. We are to worship none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, God. That's who we are to worship. Then notice what he says. He says, then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, now this angel says to John, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Young people, let me share something with you. Over in the book of Daniel, in the Old Testament, Daniel was one of the Hebrew children. Remember that? Daniel was taken from Jerusalem. He was held captive. The children of Israel had fallen away from God. They had worshiped idols. And God sent an enemy nation called the Babylonian nation. And these were godless people. They worshiped all kinds of false deities and idols. And God wanted to teach his Hebrew people a lesson. And so he allowed this godless group to come in and ransack the city of Jerusalem and take captive its people and take them to Babylon. Daniel was one of those. And Daniel wrote the book of Daniel in the Bible through the Holy Spirit. Now notice what verse 10 says. And this angel said unto John, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of Revelation, this book, for the time is at hand. Over in the book of Daniel, Daniel was told, young people, to seal his book until the time of the end, because Jesus had not come yet. But when Jesus came and we had the New Testament, now it was time for Daniel's book to be unsealed so that we can better understand the book of Revelation. So in Revelation, there are two or three chapters there that we'll look at, because when Daniel sealed up the end time that is now revealed in the book of Revelation, in the New Testament when Jesus came, now we can understand what Revelation means because of what Daniel had to say. And that's what that verse there is letting us know. Notice in verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, young people, that verse is speaking about people that are holy, that live for God, that love God, that have trusted him. Those that will trust him, but the rest of the world that will still be unjust because they will reject the message of salvation. And so verse 11 there just sums up the righteous and the unrighteous. And then look at verse 12. Now Jesus says, and behold, I come quickly. That means one of these days when he comes, young people, he's going to come suddenly. Now let's get this picture in mind so we fully understand what we've been studying for these 32 weeks. One of these days, the last person who will get saved in what we call the church age, we call it the age of grace. It's when Jesus came, died on the cross, shed his blood, rose from the dead to give us eternal life. We're living for the past 2,000 years in the church age, the age of grace. When the last person gets saved in the church age, then Jesus is going to step into the clouds. The world will not see it. The world will know something will have happened when millions and millions of people will suddenly be gone from this earth. Let me tell you, when Jesus steps out into those clouds, the Bible says those that have died in Christ, during the church age, those that have died in Christ, the Bible says their grave is going to burst open. And their body that comes out is going to be a resurrected body. It will be like the one Jesus had after the resurrection. What kind of body was that? It was flesh and bone. The Bible says flesh and blood can't enter into heaven, but flesh and bone will. And let me tell you, what kind of body was that? After the resurrection, they knew Jesus. They could touch his body. In fact, he said, look at the scars. He ate with them by the seaside. In fact, he broiled some fish for them. So they recognized him, they saw him in his resurrected body. The Bible says that one of these days, the dead are going to rise in Christ, and they're going to put on a spiritual body, and they're going to meet their spirit that is with Jesus in the clouds. That spirit, that part of them you knew, you loved, that connected with you, connected with God. That spirit will go into that physical body that's going to be a resurrected body. Now the Bible says those of us who are alive at that time in Christ that have been saved, the Bible says we've got to be changed. Why would we have to be changed, young people? Because this body is a sinful body. We've got to be changed out of this body. So we're going to put on a spiritual resurrected body. And we are going to join them in the air. Now that's what we are referring to when we say the church will be raptured, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The rest of the world won't see it, but they're going to know when babies all over the world are gone, children are gone that had never come to the age of accountability. You say, well, when does somebody get saved? How do we know? The Holy Spirit speaks to their hearts and leads them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. I don't know. There's no specific age. Some kids understand that at age 6 and 7, and they're saved at that age. I was 12 years old when I received Christ. And so whatever that age of accountability is, once you know the difference between right and wrong, then that's when you want to reach out and trust Jesus, whatever that early age may be. Now, while we're in heaven at what is called the marriage supper of the Lamb, because Christ is the groom, the church is his bride. The church is all of the saved in Christ. The Bible says we're going to go and we're going to be there at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's going to reward us for our faithfulness in this life. Now, you may have 10 different talents that you can do. You're not going to be rewarded on how many talents you have, but you're going to be rewarded on how faithful you've been with the talents or talent you have been given. Remember when Jesus spoke on the talents, and one went out and made 5 more talents, and one went out and doubled their talent, and one, you know, didn't do anything with theirs? What we're going to be judged on is not whether we're saved or lost, because when we're in heaven, we're saved. We're already saved, so that doesn't determine our salvation, but it determines our rewards, what God is going to make us rulers over as we rule and reign with him in this world one of these days. While we're there on this earth, there's going to be 7 years that is called tribulation. We looked at it from chapter 6 all the way through chapter 19 in the book of Revelation. Remember the angels pouring the plagues upon the earth and the diseases and the pestilences and famine, and people were starving and people were dying. And there's a one world leader we call the Antichrist who will rule the world. There's a one world false prophet that forms a world religion. And he will cause everybody that will follow the beast to take a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And if you don't have that mark and you're in the tribulation down here, you can't buy or sell. But if you take that mark, you are lost forever. You could never be saved after that. There will be people that will go through that horrible, terrible time, and they will reject the Antichrist mark, and they will receive Christ as their Savior. Remember, Jesus is going to have 144,000 Jewish evangelists that he marks to share the gospel. He's going to have 2 other witnesses, and we talked about those. We talked about Moses and Elijah. And then he's going to have an angel, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, floating through the heavens up there, proclaiming the gospel message. So there will be millions saved during the tribulation, during that 7 years, from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, the book of Revelation says. Now we're up there, safe with Jesus. They're down here and they're not safe. Those that receive Christ, many of them will die because of their faith, because they did not follow the Antichrist, the one world ruler that's coming one of these days. Young people, if you listen to the news, and I know you probably don't, I didn't when I was your age. I wasn't interested in it. But when you get older, you become a little more interested in some of these things that you used to not be interested in. But let me tell you, they're talking about the reset. They're talking about the one world government. They're talking about all of this one world currency and all of this stuff. That's what they're referring to. The problem is, many of them do not know the God of this Bible. And they don't know the Word of God. And young people, that's one reason why I've been teaching the book of Revelation, because I think God wants us to be aware. I think God wants us to know. I think God wants us to be warned of what's coming upon this earth one of these days. I've got to quickly run through the rest of these verses. He says here, verse 13, I'm Alpha and Omega. Alpha and Omega, that's the first letter A of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. The beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus is the first. Jesus is the last. He's the beginning. He's the end. Verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. That city is where Jesus is. That city is heaven. When somebody dies right now and they know Jesus, they immediately are in the presence of Jesus up there, as the Bible speaks about in the third heaven where God is. And let me tell you, that is their temporary place. But the Bible says, we've looked at in the book of Revelation, John said, and I saw that city. Remember last week when I talked about it's 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles deep, 1,500 miles wide. It's a cube. In other words, it's large enough for anybody that wants to go to heaven. But John said, I saw that city coming down out of heaven from God. In other words, it's going to eventually be upon this new heaven and new earth God creates, and we'll spend all eternity here upon this earth. At the end of that 7 years, when there's all the pain, the suffering going on, the Bible says Jesus is going to come back. That's the second coming, where every eye will see him. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And the Bible says that we're going to come back with him. It says the armies of heaven, that's us with the angels. Jesus will speak the word and all of the fighting will cease. He'll take the one world leader and the false prophet and cast them into the lake of fire. Then there'll be 1,000 years where there'll be peace on earth. Satan will be bound. There will be people born during that 1,000 years. You say, well, how on earth are they going to be born if we're in a recreated body, because there will not be any procreation in our resurrected bodies, because people will come out of the tribulation into that 1,000-year reign in their natural bodies. And there will be people born at the end of the 1,000 years. Satan's going to be loose. Guess what? He's going to try to get as many of those that were saved during that time to follow him. And it's at that time that Jesus consigns Satan, and those who follow him, they will be cast into the lake of fire. and all of the lost of the ages will be forever doomed, separated eternally from God. You and I will be on this earth in a new heaven, new earth. It will be something like the paradise in the book of Genesis. You know, in the book of Genesis, God told Adam and Eve, said, don't touch this tree. We're going to see something else God says in the last book of the Bible. This was the last book that was written where the canon of Scripture was closed. Notice what it says in verse 15. For without our dogs, the Jews looked at anybody that wasn't a Jew as a dog. They were looked upon with scorn. And he says, for without. He's speaking about who's going to be in this city one of these days, this heaven. He says, sorcerers, young people, you know what sorcery deals with? It deals with all kinds of stuff like pharmakia or drugs. We live in a drug-infested world. Sorcerers, witchcraft, Satan worship, all kinds of cultic practices of sorcerers and mediums and all of these things. Now, this is what he's saying about these people. And whoremongers, we all know that that all deals with any kind of sexual immorality. And murderers and idolaters, that's people that did not trust in God. They just worshiped everything. And whoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now, young people, this is what you need to understand. Jesus is not, God is not telling us in that verse that those people can't be saved, because there are lots of people that would fall into all of those categories that have been saved and they trusted Jesus. The Apostle Paul himself had been a murderer. He had consented to the death of Christians before he met Christ. On the Damascus Road, when God spoke from heaven and a blinding light came upon Paul. So Paul himself had been a murderer at one time, but now he's trusted Jesus. He's been forgiven. You say, you mean the John Wayne Gacy's of this world? You mean the serial killers of this world can go to heaven? They can if they ask for forgiveness. If they truly, genuinely ask for forgiveness. But those in these categories that reject Jesus Christ, they will not be in heaven one of these days. Verse 16, Jesus is speaking. He said, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel. Remember what angels are? They are ministering spirits that Jesus uses to testify unto you. To testify means to tell you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Young people, Jesus is from the lineage of King David in the Old Testament. Mary was from the lineage of King David in the Old Testament. That's why he's speaking about his root. His humanity is from that lineage there. And then notice what he says there. He's the bright and the morning star. That means, young people, he's the star of hope for the world. Let me tell you, a lot of people have given up on life. A lot of people don't have any hope this morning. Jesus is the hope of the world. He's the bright and the morning star. Do you believe that this morning? Folks, I want you to know, verse 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride says, come. Now look at the invitation that he gives here. He's given an invitation, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. The bride, the church, we give it the invitation, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Young people, I want you to know, when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die for Mary and Sue and Ted. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. He died for the world. Unfortunately, the world will not receive him. But for those who do receive him, the Bible says, to them gave he to become the sons of God. Young people, let me tell you, notice that verse right there. Whosoever will. I'm grateful that I'm one of the whosoever, aren't you? I'm grateful that anybody can be saved if they will turn their eyes upon Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one who moves and works in the heart and the life. But the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the eyes of mankind. He has hardened the hearts of men. He has seared their conscience. And they will reject the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. Young people, I taught English for 7.5 years, and any meant any when I taught. And today it still means any. God is not willing that any should perish. Why would God create people and just say, well, I'm only going to let you 10 be saved. The rest of y'all, you'll just go to hell. I can't even comprehend that anybody could believe that. Let me tell you, he's not willing that any should perish. He created all of us. He's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says, but that all still means all, doesn't it? Should come to repentance. The problem is, young people, the devil has blinded people's eyes. The devil doesn't want them to trust Jesus, and so he makes their hearts callous. He makes their hearts hard. He makes them bitter. He sears their conscience, so when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they spurn the Holy Spirit. They reject the Holy Spirit. They blaspheme the Holy Spirit of the living God. Notice in verse 17, the invitation is given for all to come. And then verse 18 says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Young people, the book of Revelation was the last book that the Holy Spirit wrote in 95 to 99 AD after the resurrection. It's the last book. And then all of the canon of Scripture was closed by the early church fathers who looked at the books and determined what was inspired by God. Many books we don't have because the early church fathers said those are not inspired books. They had things that were contrary to other teachings in the Bible. Therefore, they were excluded out of this. We call this the canon of Scripture. It has 66 books in it. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. Now notice what God gave a warning in Genesis. Adam and Eve, don't touch this tree. You can have all the others, but don't do this one. And what did they do? They partook of the one he said, don't touch. I want you to see he gives a warning here. In verse 18, he says, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Young people, it's not this book and the Book of Mormon. It's not this book and some other book. It's this is the Word of God. I believe it's the inspired Word. I believe it's the infallible Word. I believe it's the inerrant Word of Almighty God. And God gives a warning to those that add to it and take from it. And then look in verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Young people, I mentioned a while ago, people will read that and they'll go, well, gosh, it's been 2,000 years. Where's Jesus? He hasn't come. Well, what that means is when he does come, it's going to be quickly. It's going to be suddenly. It's going to be without warning. When he comes, surely I come quickly. Amen. There's that word that just means so be it. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the invitation. And then verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. God's wonderful grace. You and I don't deserve it. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. It's a free gift. God says, if you want to go to heaven someday, I'm the way you go. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you want to go to heaven, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way. And let me tell you, young people, there are people out there in the world that will try to lead you astray when you go off to colleges and universities with all kinds of liberalism and liberal theological ideas. But I want you to know Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for listening so attentively this morning. You are absolutely amazing. Would you stand as we pray together today?